Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, home of South by Southwest Festival, which is currently happening today, happened all weekend, will happen until Wednesday, from what I understand. I have not been to any of the events in South by Southwest. And I don't really feel inclined to. I'm not protesting it. I have no political stance about why I'm not going. I'm not boycotting it. It just doesn't seem cool this year. That's all. A lot of people pulled out because of the festival's connection to various Israeli companies, that's my understanding of what's going on with that. And as a result, I think it just became less cool to be a part of South by Southwest. It's a little bit too on the nose, I suppose, to just be. I think it's just like people are just fleeing reality is what's going on. That's all. People are fleeing the times that they ever have to really come face to face with the structure, what's beneath the surface of what makes everything here work. Whenever you have to come face to face and confront the reality of how this country works and at the expense of whom, then, you know, like various small brown countries across the globe, I guess mainly would be the sort of facetious way to say it, right? But really it's just, you know, it's basically how a global hegemon works. Because personally, I do not think that this would be different under any other hegemon, any other country, any other type. And I think people kind of really subconsciously know that. If you're old enough to not be going around the first, you know, cycle of this, of, you know, U.S. foreign policy's excesses and how it operates and stuff. It's standard operating procedure. This is how it works to be this country. And so but it's too raw, it's too real. There's fatalities associated with this. There's all girls schools that are being targeted by ballistic missiles looks like the evidence may point to us. It's most likely things like that, you know, like blowing up an all girls school and, because we have to protect U.S. interests. That is really, really so real right now that people don't want to be a part of any cultural event whereby they have to actually look it in the face and consent and collude by not doing something about it, right? And so, never mind that really there's no escape from your complicity because you live here, right? You are here. This is where you are. If you don't want to be complicit, you actually physically have to leave this country. I mean, for real. And I'm not doing that whole, like, you don't like it, get the fuck out of here, go to Iran. I don't mean that. I mean, it's the only way. And even so, you may be complicit living elsewhere somehow because it's a country maybe that's, you know, allied with this country or somehow benefits from this order. Everybody, that's just the way it is, man. Everybody who benefits from this, the way things are, benefits from the way things are. Everybody. And everybody does benefit in some way, shape, or form unless you are in the way. Do you understand? So that's the problem. And the issue is that kind of can often conflict with certain small quirks of other nation states and that could, you know, issues like little tiny pet peeves that other people might have, like their own personal sovereignty and diplomacy generally, and peaceful relations and politics, just doing politics instead of attacks, things like little pesky things like people preferring peace and freedom and sovereignty can get in the way of a global hegemon's interests. And, we can't have that because then nothing would work. Nothing would work if you have to stop bulldozing ahead to get, to prevent just completely steamrolling over innocent lives. So, it's very complicated. Very, very complicated issue here. And rather than participate in South by Southwest, which is blatantly in partnership with people who have companies who happen to be Israeli, and also people who have companies who are, Israeli and also politically trying to influence things, it's too real. So instead, people are staying within their normal spheres of influence, where they are also complicit with whatever they think is going on, and whatever is going on. But it's not directly. It's like 1 degree separated. So then we can all kind of exist in the little space-time, pocket. It's just a separate dimension where you can pretend that the little bubble you live in has absolutely nothing to do with the things that horrify you about the world at large. Basically, that's what we're doing. And that's how we're doing it. So anyway, what's going on with the Melissa Diaz report? That was a little rambly. I'm still sleep deprived. So I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And this is just kind of where my thoughts are going right now. So anyway, what's up with the news, right? Let's cover it. So today we're going to be covering Newt Gingrich's nuclear detonations proposal in response to the Strait of Hormuz blockade raises some eyebrows, followed by reports that protesters in Cuba basically torched a Communist Party office amid blackout fury. And finally, we're going to end with a story by Gothamist regarding Washington Square Park in New York, once a hub for counterculture and political protests in the city that has now been overrun with social media influencers. Those are our three stories. That's all the time we're going to have to cover any stories. So yeah, let's do it. Let's get started. I already did my ramble ahead of the news, so I guess I'm just going to skip it. I mean, basically, what are we dealing with the world, right? We got the Academy Awards, which people tune into to get away from South by Southwest, and yet, lo and behold, the Academy Awards, I mean, actors have a lot to do with geopolitics. Actors, Hollywood, this is not conspiracy, this is just the status quo. Hollywood is, there are many studios that are there just, I guess, for the art form or something, if it still even works like that anymore. I mean, it's pretty much owned by a couple of monopolies. But there are other studios that are, they are also partially, maybe because of the ownership or their management or whatever the hell, they are willing to pay lip service to this country's ideals and propaganda. So, actors are very active with the United Nations. I mean, did Nicki Minaj do a speech for Trump at the UN? You think that's weird? That's rare? That happens all the time. Angelina Jolie has been for many, many years a person who works with the United Nations as an ambassador. And so this is a very common thing. So because of that, I guess, The Academy Awards this year was basically armed to the teeth, apparently, or at least under a lot of drone surveillance, and there was a lot of security. They had to ramp that up because of the geopolitical situation in the Middle East right now. And that's pretty interesting. And it's probably why when Conan O'Brien gave his speech, every time they cut to the audience after one of his punchlines for each joke, which were pretty good jokes, they just kind of bared their teeth at him. Their clenched jaws, they just bared their clenched jaws at him. They just bared their incisors and just tried not to blink and show joy. It was probably all of those actors' worst performances. And it's understandable, though, because, walking into a place like that with that much security at that point, and then you discover that it's something is going on in Iran, and you probably did, half of them, did they even know? Probably not. They're morons, because most Americans are, especially when it comes to foreign policy. I mean, there is an actress, Charithra Chandran, who was on X demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. It's like, there already is a ceasefire in Gaza, and Iran is the issue now, right? We've moved on from Gaza. We already blew that place sky high. So once the U.S. blows a place to smithereens, we're not talking about that place anymore. Why would you talk about a place that literally, as well as figuratively, does not even exist anymore? Right? Right? Okay. I'm being sarcastic. So, you know, that's one thing. I mean, we got four terror attacks in the last 2 weeks since the attack on Iran. We got the New York Post, who chose to focus on the fact that Iran's new supreme leader might be a homosexual. That's a good thing. That's what we should be focusing on now. That's true. Let's just laugh at irony after we basically check off destabilizing Iran off the U.S. foreign policy checklist. So, yeah. I mean, look, this is the life we're living. This is where we're buckle in, okay? Because ever since 9/11, this has been the trajectory. Then we're here, baby. Welcome to the Death Star, boob. Let's do it. So anyway, in that same vein, Newt Gingrich's nuclear detonation proposal in response to Strait of Hormuz blockade raises some eyebrows. So essentially, what happened is that Newt Gingrich shared a post on X stating that thermonuclear detonations could create a new waterway as disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz continue amid the Iran war. So basically, the Strait of Hormuz apparently is a 21-mile wide stretch of water through which 20% of the world's, I believe, oil goes through. It's a major waterway for oil transportation, basically. It's been under a blockade since the attacks on Iran, understandably so. And that's something that Newt Gingrich thinks we can bomb the shit out of also. That's how much they're itching to use bombs, apparently, is that we don't just want to use the bombs the way they were originally meant to be used, which is to just eliminate entire countries if needed, but we want to use thermonuclear detonations additionally to actually do some interior decorating on Earth's actual geography. That's what we want to do. That's like you throw a Molotov cocktail into your living room because you want a new interior design for it. That's basically that, right? Your thermonuclear detonation on a slice of Earth to remodel it, basically, to do that. That's great. That's wonderful. That's where we're at. What else are we going to use the bombs for afterwards? I don't know. They'll start using bombs to try to build shit eventually. I mean, this is basically the beginning of that. We're going to use bombs to build waterways. We're going to use bombs You know what? I mean, really, we will have won as a country when we can actually use bombs to build schools, right? Now we're using them to blow them up. But if we could reach a point where we can use thermonuclear detonation to actually build a school, rebuild a whole city, then I think we will have won as a country. If we could explode things into existence rather than out of existence, that would be pretty cool. I wish we could explode food into places that have famine. That would be pretty dope. But instead, it goes the other way. So that's a big foreign policy challenge for this country, I gotta say. We really gotta figure that one out. How can we use all of our thermonuclear bombs to actually, you know, do some good in the world? I guess bombing a new waterway in the Middle East, a place famous for an abundance of water to begin with, so plenty to go around when you want to blow holes into things to make more water go, then that's a good start. I mean, I guess they could basically bomb Gaza into a new Disney water park. Wouldn't that be something? Just bomb a bunch of, you know, craters and slides into the earth, and there we go. Hire people to run it, and hire Disney. Disney's ready. They're already ready. They got a new CEO. They're ready to go. So I think I solved that story. I think we can move on. Okay. Following this story, we got protesters in Cuba attacking a Communist Party office, amid blackout fury. Basically, Cuba has been under sanctions for a long, long time. And because of that, they have always struggled with resources, with energy consumption, with everything. But they do have sort of a good tourism industry because they have sections of Cuba that are open to tourists. And just in general, people are kind of welcome there. And a lot of people like to go because it was just like it's an edgy place to go, right? It's under sanctions. It had a revolution, but somehow the revolution worked in a way, right? Things are being run. People are still there. But no longer. I think we've reached the end of this because now they finally put a squeeze on their energy consumption. Everything now is controlling energy consumption all over the world, and they're using it as basically as a weapon. They're just weaponizing energy for geopolitics. So videos on social media show a large fire and people throwing rocks through the windows of a building. Anti-government protesters attacked a Communist Party office in northern Cuba early on Saturday, a state-run newspaper reported, in a rare outburst of public dissent triggered by worsening blackouts that have been exacerbated by a U.S. oil blockade. Well, now, I lived in the Dominican Republic for 3 years when I was a teenager, and we did go through some blackouts. And that kind of sucks because temporary blackouts are doable on a Caribbean island. It's doable. They happen all the time. And you don't have to be a communist state for that to be occurring. It happens in the Dominican Republic. Sometimes there are just blackouts. And it's actually a good time for people to come together. I remember that once there was a blackout, especially as the evening came on and it was time to go home as a kid, then everybody would kind of just, they would get various forms of mosquito repellent, right? You get bug zappers, lights, citronella candles, and candles make things seem fun. So it makes it seem like a party's about to happen right now. Like something's going on, you know, like a concert. So all these candles on the balcony, people would sit there, you'd kick off your shoes, it's time to just be home, or not home, sometimes you'd spend the night somewhere, and everybody would spend the night drinking a couple beers and telling jokes and stories and catching up on stuff and just kind of looking out at the sky, and it was kind of a nice time. It was a time of togetherness and snacking. And, you know, if somebody managed to get a radio going, battery powered radio, you know, a little bit of dancing, it would be really kind of cool. And then walking around the dark in your neighborhood just makes it seem really unfamiliar all of a sudden. And that would be pretty cool. So, you know, I'm sure that Cuba's been having blackouts for a long time, and they've managed, because there is that element of, it's kind of a cultural thing that happens, a meme, the blackout time, and that's cool and all. But the thing is, it's like, when you've had a blackout for as long as they have, it stops being fun. It starts being like a fun, you know, Boy Scouts getaway where you're like, ooh, let me see if I know how to make a fire from scratch, to like, hey, do we live in the Stone Age now? What's happening currently? Do we live? Did the world forget us? What's going on? So I think this is what's going on with Cuba. And it's been a pretty intense time for them. Let's see. The Associated Press also has an article on this, right? This is Cuba. Very cute. This place, I mean, this place looks like the whole world forgot it. And because it's true, because this place, this has been this way since the 1950s. So that's it. And things have been crumbling since then. Officials in Cuba reported an island-wide blackout Monday in the country of some 11 million people as its energy and economic crisis deepen and its power grid continues to crumble. And this is directly related to the attack in Venezuela, to the coup that happened there, and to Iran, and just all of the disruption in transporting oil to all these different countries, because Cuba did figure out ways to get oil to the country despite the sanctions, and they were relying on countries that were anti-American to do it. So this is the third major blackout in Cuba over the past 4 months. Yeah, you know, major blackouts for 4 months straight, that's pretty bad. That's a horrible thing. You know, plus, you know, it's an island, so blackouts really have a domino effect on everything. Imports, you know, everything that you get in an island, a lot of it, it's imported. At least all of the comforts and the more civilizational comforts that you can get come from outside of the island. It's hard to make a lot of stuff on an island for 11 million people. I mean, that's not easy. All right. Thomas David Velasquez, Felipe. I anglicized it on purpose. I'm not going to say Tomas David Velasquez Felipe. A 61-year-old resident of Havana said the relentless outages made him think that Cubans who can should just pack up and leave the island. What little we have to eat spoils. Our people are too old to keep suffering. Yeah. Cuba's aging grid has drastically eroded in recent years, leading to an increase in daily outages and island-wide blackouts. But the government also has blamed its woes on a U.S. energy blockade after President Donald Trump in January warned of tariffs on any country that sells or provides oil to Cuba. Yeah, man, they're really after Cuba this time. I think they're gonna get them. This country can't. I don't know how they're gonna get through this particular level of sanction. Strictness. So, well, Cuba, a lot of people were rooting for you for whatever reason. And, you know, basically because they were a sovereign state, you know, in spite of all of the U.S.'s efforts. So just that piece of it, I think, made people look at Cuba as a kind of an inspiration. Everything else, I mean, it's up for debate about, you know, it's a one party state, basically, system. It's a communist system, right? Everything's ration. But the thing is that that kind of works on an island, because things, I don't know, I feel like things need to be rationed on an island. Plus, a lot of Cubans living there, it's not like I don't know if they hated Cuba, right? They just lived there. That was their country. Those were their people. But eventually they would leave because of poverty. The ones that left, I think, during the revolution, they fled because they were afraid, and they didn't think it was going to last. And it did. It lasted. It's been a long time since whenever that happened, 1957 or something, I think it was. Was the Cuban Revolution. And all those people mainly kind of created an enclave of Cuban Americans in Miami who tend to vote pretty conservative and all that, and they're, you know, understandably anti-communist, right? Anti-socialist or whatever. So kind of like Russians. You know, anybody who's been burned by anything called communism at all, it, you know, they're not for it. So that, I think that's understandable, though. A lot of people died during those times. But be that as it may, the people that were left over, you know, whether they did benefit or whether their propaganda was really effective in telling them they benefited, whether people are going to give those people the benefit of the doubt of respecting what they want from their nation or whatever, whether or not those that was the case, the people that stayed there, eventually the ones that left more for the poverty than the politics, because they didn't really have much to lose, I think, during the revolution. So there was nothing to miss after it was over. Anyway, that was a kind of rambly thing, but it's just interesting because Cuba's fall is basically one of those major falls that really herald the end of the 20th century's standard, for how everything operated around the world. Throughout the 20th century, this was the way. Cuba was a major part of the history of the 20th century, and just everything is just kind of over. I'll tell you one thing, though. Cuba, at least, has not probably had to deal with AI, and never will, because their data grid, I mean, whatever, their energy grid could at this juncture, could probably never support a data center. So AI, that's actually one country where AI will not be taking anyone's job anytime soon. So if you are worried about AI taking your job, you might want to consider moving to Cuba after whatever this mess is over, because you can't install AI on a country that can't just even operate normally without blackouts every month. So something to think about if you want your job to not be taken by AI. I just can't believe I'm here just solving all these problems for everybody. I'm such a good person. I'm really kind of just telling everybody how they can really improve their lives. And I think that's really cool. That's really cool of me. That's really, really awesome of me. And I got more. I can do more. You know what I mean? Look at this. This is a picture of the fire. I think actually Cuba's in talks with the United States currently. Let's see. Angry protesters vandalized the Communist Party office in the city of Morón. It's called Moron. Okay. Some 460 kilometers east of the capital, Havana, blah, blah, blah. As a peaceful rally against power cuts and food shortages turned violent. Yeah, you know, that's how it be sometimes. Just like the Floyd protests, peaceful and sometimes violent. What do we know about the Morón protest? They took to the streets shouting liberty, banging pots, a form of protest Cubans have recently taken up to air their grievances. It's like, you know, don't they know how fortunate they are that AI will not touch that country for probably another 50 years? Because that's how long it's going to take to rebuild that energy grid. Don't they know that? Don't they know that their children are that much less addicted to social media and the like because of the fact that they are basically energy-wise forced to occasionally live in the Stone Age? Don't they know that? Don't these Cubans know how privileged they are even? I mean, check your privilege, Cuba. Check it. Check your privilege. All right, we're going to move on to our last story. Washington Square Park, once a hub for counterculture and political protests in the city, has now been overrun with social media influencers. As a teenager, personally, I got really, really high there a lot, very frequently, and drunk, extremely drunk and high and drunk and high. And that was the area, those were my old stomping grounds. And that's where I got my first piercings. That's where I got a tattoo later on when I was in college. The West Village, used to be pretty cool. And I think even before I was there, it was probably even cooler. Because I think when I remember being a very small child and my mom would take me to that area because she had to get art supplies. And that's where you would get the best art supplies or whatever. And that tells you something already, where you have to go all the way from the Bronx to the West Village to get awesome art supplies. It's because there was a lot going on there. And people, I remember people having the coolest jackets and the just kind of, people would just slouch around there, just completely free somehow, I remember. That's how they looked to me. They were just free, you know? They were in their heads. They were free of consumer shit. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell that everything they had on them was half made by them or somebody they knew. That's what I mean. And they were just kind of, they were just slouched around in their leather jackets and their bell bottoms and their platform clogs and kind of just go from a, like, everything was like an open air market and you would just kind of go around looking at shit and whatever. But people weren't, you know, on spending sprees or anything. Now it's just a lot of boutique and major retail outlets there, and people just go and spend money because they, you know, the itch to be somebody, to be somebody interesting, you go to the Village to scratch it for a long time. Culturally, that's what Americans do. If you go to New York, right, if you go to the West Village because you know about it, you're going there because you have an itch to scratch about being an individual, being free of being some average schmo, you know, being somebody who's artistic and intellectual, who thinks, somebody who's not bogged down by materialism and all this other crap, who has elevated thoughts about, that was initially, right? And then a bunch of idiots saw them going to the West Village, and then they were like, we want to be like them, but they didn't even understand why they wanted to be like them. So they were like, maybe if we look like them, we'll be them. So then people just started going to buy shit that made them look like those people, and then they supplanted and gentrified out the intellectuals, and then it was just these morons in leather jackets trying to look like they were intellectual. And then it's so on and so forth. And then they get gentrified out. And now you just have a bunch of drooling ninnies who don't even care about that old style or that vibe or anything. They're just trying to continue to cultivate coolness so that then they can sell people bullshit. And that's kind of it. So you go down there and there's all kinds of bullshit. There's people making long lines to go to some perfumery. There's people that are just there because Instagram influencers ate a bunch of pizza in the area and they're just a bunch of, you know, mindless foodies and they just want to go down there and do what the influencer did. You know, it's just, it's an echo chamber of stupidity. And I don't even know what that looks like, because most echo chambers, people at least try to sound smart, but this is just an echo chamber of just blatant consumerist idiocy. And all I can think it's a whole neighborhood full of people just munching on ice cream, sitting in parks that they don't really give a shit about, and staring at homeless people. That's kind of what's going on there. You know, they have the best bagels in the West Village. Social media influencers now run Washington Square Park. Yes, in Washington Square Park, everyone has main character energy. Okay, I hate that term, main character energy. Everybody has main character energy because you are the main character of your life. That's you'll always have that energy. On any given day, dozens of young people scour the downtown park with smartphones and microphones, looking for people to interview. Ugh. Buskers and dog walkers increasingly compete for space with tripods, even in corners of the park with well-earned reputations for grittiness. Grittiness? What does that mean? But by grittiness, by the way, they just mean there are transsexuals in this portion of the park at night or some or like this is where these guys go play chess, whatever. Or this is where Dave Attell goes and thinks of dick jokes. He sits there. So Yes. The park, which for decades was known as a hub of counterculture and an anchor for protests in the city, has now been overrun with social media influencers looking to go viral. Much of the country got an introduction last month to Washington Square Park's latest incarnation as a major stage for aspiring social media stars after a popular social media channel promoted a snowball fight. The account Side Talk put out an invite to its 2 million followers to come to the park. The impromptu event drew hundreds of revelers, many of them social media influencers themselves. Okay. Some attendees pelted police officers with snowballs, creating a viral moment that authorities say was also criminal. Ugh. All right. Damn. I mean, you want people to accept the police as part of the community, but then it's like they can't be a part of a snowball fight? Huh? They're either part of the community or they're not, right? They're either your Gestapo or they're not, right? If they're not, then they could take a snowball to the head, okay? That's bullshit. That's for them to go, you know, snitch about it, criminal complaint, come on. I mean, the cops could have, you know, if cops were better cops, if they trained them better, they'd be able to deal with that situation. Anyway, I mean, they're not superheroes. Okay, I'm being an asshole. So look. They threw snow at the cops. Ooh. Park regulars say its social mediaification, okay, became more noticeable after the COVID-19 pandemic when people were eager to be outside around their friends after more than a year of lockdowns. That era corresponded with the growth in popularity of vertical videos on apps like TikTok. This is just like the blackouts in the Caribbean. This is what I'm talking about, right? Except that's the thing about this country. This country really, really gets uncomfortable when people congregate. They don't like people to come together. And isn't that interesting? And isn't that something you should probably lean into and do instead? The thing that they don't want you to do. This is what I'm saying, okay? Because COVID-19 was like this country's version of a blackout where they, you know, everything gets shut down. Nobody can go to work. Nobody can go to school. And then you know what they want is they want everybody to basically never see each other again, right? They wanted everybody to just be cloistered away, no way to contact each other unless it was through some fucking middleman. And the thing is that the minute you put a middleman in anything, it effectively will corrupt that dynamic. That's the problem with middlemen. That's the problem with middle management. That's the problem with HR ladies. That's the problem with PayPal. That's the problem with social media. That's the problem with AI, is that it's not that these tools exist. It's that they're kind of always being used for creating these little spaces between people that you can then, you know, use as a wall or a gate, rather, through which you can charge a fee for people to have that interaction that they used to just have naturally to begin with. Middlemen suck. They always suck. That's why managers suck ass. Like, after COVID, a lot of people realized, especially white collar workers, that they didn't have to go to work to do their jobs. And you know whose job that threatened? Middle management, right? Now, the problem is that middle management has the ear of management and owners. So they are just in their ears ever since COVID and like pushing out all this propaganda in, you know, through quote unquote news outlets and like Medium and Substack and on through all other kinds of people, sympathizers, sympathetic journalists, or what have you, just constantly leaking that out into the public, this idea that, no, you need to go back to the office. Aren't you lonely? Don't you miss people? Don't you want to be around people? But look, in the Caribbean, the only thing you need to be around people is for there to be no electricity. So isn't that an interesting thing, that the less you have, the more you can be with people that you actually want to be around your neighbors, to be around your family, to meet new people. It's always when the middlemen have no power. Like during COVID, a lot of people connected, right? But then the problem is a lot of dickheads also kind of plugged into that, and then they kind of maneuvered things in their way to create a lot of chaos and discord. But that's because the electricity was still running. So next time there's some COVID shit, we should also cut the power. That's what I'm saying. And also, we should really look to Cuba as the future potential for reconnecting with other human beings, because I think everybody thinks that the only way out is forward, but maybe sometimes the only way out is backwards. If you want to ever, you know, love your fellow man ever again, you know, maybe you got to just, maybe we should start hearing these people out that keep trying to attack the energy grids in this country. Maybe they're onto something. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we should have a holiday where all the energy grids get cut off. Maybe we should advocate for that. We need to have blackouts is what I'm trying to say. Blackouts also, if you like let people attack energy grids, blackouts will also stall and slow down, for now at least, you know, artificial intelligence from taking over. So this is what I'm trying to say, is that if you don't want to be complicit, that's a problem with being complicit, right? Because the only way to not be complicit, I think, is to just do terrorism. So that's not good. I don't know. It's kind of a conundrum. To you could be a reformer, but the main thing stays the same. So I don't know. If we could just get zapped back into the Stone Age for like a week, just so we could all just meet each other again and need each other and like remember each other and like, you know, how nice it is to be around people. I don't know. Maybe that could solve something. Anyway, I'm not advocating terrorism at all, by the way. So I'm just saying, I don't know, maybe turn off the breakers in your house for a week, see what happens. Anyway, that was the Melissa Diaz report. That's all the time I have today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to go take a nap, okay? All right.